peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Bernie Crooks from the law firm Littman Crooks, and welcome to the Littman Crooks Peace of Mind podcast series. Today, our guest is Marjorie Madfist, the founder of Yes She Can. Marjorie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bernie. It's great to be here.
Now, you can tell us a little bit about Yes She Can. I know you founded it in 2013, and it's dedicated to helping young women with autism and related disabilities develop transferable job skills and workspace social skills through authentic work experience. So tell me what that means in English, please.
Sure, absolutely. So our mission is to help young women, typically between the ages of 18 and 28, who have either completed high school, some have even attended college or are enrolled in college, but all want to work and have the ambition to work. So what we have done is created a store in White Plains called Girl Again, where we resell American Girl merchandise, and our trainees work in that environment. It's an authentic business. They're coached by social workers and psychologists in terms of a variety of skills, and we also have business managers coaching them. So all trainees are expected to work on all aspects of running the business, and while they're doing that, various issues come up, whether it's being able to transition from one priority to another, being able to engage appropriately with a colleague, being able to communicate with a customer, dealing with frustration. So all of those kinds of things are worked on with our coaches. So now we've switched over to doing this virtually, and so it's a very different experience since we're not face-to-face anymore.
So everyone's obviously had to adapt due to the pandemic. Any word on when Girl Again can reopen?
Well, we're not an essential business, but we are our training program. We sort of looked at it two ways. One, when can we open our training program in a face-to-face environment? And when can we open the retail store? And we may decide that we won't have customers coming in on weekdays while we're doing training. We'll have customers just shopping on the weekends. So those are some of the plans that we're working on as we speak. In the meantime, our trainees are fully engaged, and in fact, we've added some additional trainees for our session that just started last week. So our coaches and trainees are all working using Zoom. We've always had a Google Share Drive for documents. For example, we've created an inventory management spreadsheet. It's a, it's a spreadsheet. We share it in Google Docs. So now all the trainees who are familiar with accessing Google Docs can use the exact same tools. We have always kept a lot of the kinds of documents. For example, when people make a merchandise donation to us, we need to write a thank you note, and we have those templates in our Google Share Drive. So there's a lot of similarities, but the difference is we used to coach four young women for 3 hours at a time in our store. We've discovered we cannot do Zoom coaching for 3 hours. People sort of lose their attention. It's pretty intense. The other thing is instead of coaching four people at once, our coaches are coaching usually two trainees at once. And then we do get together for team meetings twice a week. Another finding was that there's a lot of glitches with technology, and a lot of our trainees were losing patience, and I think that was a skill that we inadvertently had to really focus on, is patience and dealing with uncertainty. The surprise is that some of our trainees who have been more reluctant to be engaged verbally have kind of developed more using Zoom. They're very comfortable, particularly using the chat function. They can get their ideas across without feeling interrupted. They can process information at their own speed using the chat function. And so some of our trainees who've been a little more reserved are actually doing even better than they were in our store environment.
So is it possible, Marjorie, that going forward you may do things differently, even if we ever return back to normal, whatever that is?
I think there will be an opportunity to have a combination of in-store, face-to-face work, as well as work that we can do virtually. For example, we're adding to our curriculum things that we've always wanted to do, but just sort of didn't get to. For example, I have a background in marketing, so I've been giving a education on marketing using PowerPoint and Zoom and examples, and explaining, you know, what is the value of posting something on social media for a business. The other thing that we're adding to our curriculum is job exploration skills. How do you search for the kind of work you might be interested in? How do you discover what kinds of work people actually do? How do we create our, obviously create a resume, but how do we work on our elevator pitch, creating LinkedIn profiles, learning how to do networking through LinkedIn? So those things can all be done virtually and in team meetings using Zoom. So I envision us continuing to have that part of our curriculum, and it can be offered through Zoom if people aren't able to physically get to the store.
I'm Bernie Crooks from Littman Crooks, host of the Littman Crooks podcast series. Our guest is Marjorie Matfis, the founder of Yes She Can, and we're talking about doing things differently in the new world. What about the folks who are not so technically adept? We've tried to move also to the Zoom platform and the digital world to adapt to the pandemic, but some people, in our case, many times it's seniors or folks with disabilities, are just not able to connect on Zoom and don't feel comfortable with it. Is there anything we can do for these folks?
Well, it's interesting that some of our people are very digitally savvy and actually have seem to be a little more resourceful than even perhaps some of our coaches. If we found that kind of interesting. The other thing is, once in a while, we have one or two trainees who call in a brother or sister into the room and, you know, make some sort of adjustment. So, you know, it's nice that they have, that there are people around who can be supportive. We do have one participant who really isn't very technically comfortable, and you know, one of her family members has set up the meeting, and she watches, and she gets engaged by watching, but you know, she's less doesn't participate at the same level. In terms of technology, I just think that if we are going to be working, you know, more from home, that there needs to be dedication on developing those skills for people who don't have them, and really should be a highlight of you know, some organizations to really think about that and say, what can we do to bring people up to speed so that they can access all this great content?
Yeah, I think maybe a lot of folks' views of technology has changed from an inconvenience to maybe more of a necessity, and if it's managed properly, maybe we can actually do better.
You know, sometimes I happen to use an Android phone. My daughter is an iPhone user, but sometimes I gotta get confused, and she just grabs the phone out of my hand and starts pushing buttons, and next thing I know, it's fixed. So I think there's a certain less, you know, they're less fearful in some senses than some of us. But I do think that, you know, there also needs to be time to use it for social and relaxation. So, for example, one of my board members at Yes She Can is also a certified yoga instructor. And so we have every week a 30-minute yoga with Pat. Some of our trainees aren't comfortable getting on the floor with a mat, so she also teaches yoga, chair yoga, and a lot of breathing exercises, and a lot of relaxation and balancing, you know, mind balancing and mindfulness. It's It's very helpful. And so I think a lot of our participants, including their families who join us for that half hour, are able to take some of those things they've learned and then put it into their, the rest of the week, the rest of their practice. Another thing we did was we had a crafting activity. Pam Moskowitz, who owns a business called 100% Beads, she's been involved with us. She sent everybody a package of beads and the elastic, and we all worked on making bracelets, and then everybody used their screen to share and show everybody else how they chose to make the design, because each person, had the opportunity to design the bead bracelet the way they wanted. So it was they were doing a physical activity with their fingers and crafting, and they were also sharing, and so I thought that was an interesting use of technology.
Audrey Matfis, founder of Yes She Can, where can people learn more about the good work that you're doing?
So we're at yesshecaninc.org, and our store, Girl Again, is at girlagain.com.
Thanks so much for being on the podcast, Marjorie.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
I'm Bernie Crooks from Lippman Crooks, host of the Lippman Crooks podcast series. Until next time, everyone. So long.
Today and tomorrow.